Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press *2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our meeting with singing hymn number 395 after I've read all of the verses. Word of life, most pure, most strong, lo, for thee the nations long. Spread, till from its dreary night all the world awakes to light. Lo, the ripening fields we see. Mighty shall the harvest be, but the reapers still are few. Great the work they have to do. Lord of harvest, let there be joy and strength to work for thee, till the nations far and near see thy light, thy law revere. Hymn 395. The subject of the readings today is joy and strength to work for thee. And I'll be reading from the Message. Matthew. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their fish nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." By this time, they were in front of Peter's house. On entering, Jesus found Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed, burning up with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever was gone. No sooner was she up on her feet than she was fixing dinner for them. That evening, a lot of demon-afflicted people were brought to him. He relieved the inwardly tormented. He cured the bodily ill. As they left, a religion scholar asked if he could go along. "I'll go with you wherever," he said. Jesus said, "Are you ready to cross it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know." Another follower said, "Master, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have my father's funeral to take care of." Jesus refused. "First things first, your business is life, not death. Follow me. Pursue life." Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. "Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. When you knock on a door, be courteous in your greeting. If they welcome you, be gentle in your conversation. If they don't welcome you, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack, so don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake, inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me. Don't be upset when they hand you before the civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've done you and me a favor, given you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And don't worry about what you'll say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So don't hesitate to go public now. Stand up for me against world opinion, and I'll stand up for you before my Father in heaven. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. Acts. One day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for prayer meeting. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. The next day, a meeting was called in Jerusalem. The rulers, religious leaders, religion scholars, Annas the chief priest, Caiaphas, John Alexander, everybody who was anybody was there. They stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. "Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this?" They recognized them as companions of Jesus. But with the man right before them, seeing him standing there so upright, so healed, What could they say against that? And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Christianity is again demonstrating the life that is truth and the truth that is life by the apostolic work of casting out error and healing the sick. Jesus cast out evil spirits or false beliefs. The Apostle Paul bade men have the mind that was in the Christ. Jesus did his own work by the one Spirit. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He never described disease so far as can be learned from the Gospels, but he healed disease. God rests in action. Imparting has not impoverished, can never impoverish the divine mind. No exhaustion follows the action of this mind according to the apprehension of divine science. The highest and sweetest rest, even from a human standpoint, is in holy work. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father, and for this we owe him endless homage. His mission was both individual and collective. He did life's work aright, not only in justice to himself, but in mercy to mortals, to show them how to do theirs, but not to do it for them, nor to relieve them of a single responsibility. People with mental work before them have no time for gossip about false law or testimony. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. Is it not a species of infidelity to believe that so great a work as the Messiah's was done for himself or for God, who needed no help from Jesus' example to preserve the eternal harmony? But mortals did need this help, and Jesus pointed the way for them. It is a question today whether the ancient inspired healers understood the science of Christian healing, or whether they caught its sweet tones as the natural musician catches the tones of harmony without being able to explain them. So divinely imbued were they with the spirit of science that the lack of the letter could not hinder their work, and that letter without the spirit would have made void their practice. Christian science destroys material beliefs through the understanding of spirit, and the thoroughness of this work determines health. One must fulfill one's mission without timidity or dissimulation, for to be well done, the work must be done unselfishly. Christian experience teaches faith in the right and disbelief in the wrong. It bids us work the more earnestly in times of persecution, because then our labor is more needed. Great is the reward of self-sacrifice, though we may never receive it in this world. The demands of God appeal to thought only. But the claims of mortality and what are termed laws of nature appear to matter. Which then are we to accept as legitimate and capable of producing the highest human good? We cannot obey both physiology and spirit, for one absolutely destroys the other, and one or the other must be supreme in the affections. It is impossible to work from two standpoints. If we attempt it, we shall presently hold to the one and despise the other. Good demands of man every hour in which to work out the problem of being. A Christian Scientist occupies the place at this period of which Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. A city which is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let us watch, work, and pray that this salt lose not its saltness, and that this light be not hid, but radiate and glow into noontide glory." Millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, weary wanderers athirst in the desert, are waiting and watching for rest and drink. Give them a cup of cold water in Christ's name, and never fear the consequences. Beyond the frail premises of human beliefs, above the loosening grasp of creeds, the demonstration of Christian mind healing stands a revealed and practical science. It is imperious throughout all ages as Christ's revelation of truth, of life, and of love, which remains inviolate for every man to understand and to practice. This concludes the readings.